Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
As I tell you, it's always an honor to sit in for Rush. And I know Mark Stein, Ken Matthews have been telling you that Rush would be in today on Open Line Friday at 800-282-2882. Bear with us because the Maha Rushi is intending to call into his own program. And I've told you it's a mind blower. It is to fill in for Rush. It always is. It's an incredible honor. But to take a call from Rush Limbaugh on his own program, I was just telling Bo Snerd, I don't know how to deal with that. I don't have psychiatric help to do that. It's a psychological thing to take a call from Rush on his own show. In revolutionary times, speaking the truth is an act of bravery. And this morning, the president spoke some truths about people coming over our southern border who we have no way of knowing what condition they are in. We know that once they go across through the process of sneaking through the border, they're going to be physically dilapidated. They're going to be vulnerable. And so the president's saying we need to seal this too. He's also speaking truths about China. And the more I read about China and the more I study what they did to this world, it is even more phenomenal to me that the media in these revolutionary times thinks that they can bully the president into not speaking the truth about China. And when I say China, I mean the Chinese government. I can't imagine the Chinese people are jumping up and down for what's gone on in their country, what continues to go on. And I'd love to hear from Asian Americans who are legitimately more concerned about the president calling this the Chinese virus versus actually fighting the virus. And it's Open Line Friday, 800-282-2882. Just a couple things. I want to get into the China thing, and we'll get into that real quick. You just need to know a few bits of information. July 15th is the new tax filing date. Thank you, President Trump, for recognizing the last thing we need to do is sit down and gather receipts. It's July 15th is the new tax filing day. Thank you to the president for that. Also, a stark comparison. Former Clinton and Elizabeth Warren aides have put together $5 million in dark money for the purposes of criticizing the president's response to the Wuhan flu. They are war rooming his response. As we've seen the governor of New York, the governor of California step up to praise the president for fast action. Even Ilhan Omar saw an opportunity to praise the president. Ilhan Omar. And yet these political operatives intend to war room his response. I can't think of anything more serious than attempting to bring people down at a time when, even if we don't dig all the policies, even if some of the details leave us wanting or nervous, spending-wise. They're working together on behalf of the workers of America. It's incredible. It's incredible to watch this. China hid this stuff from us for 3 weeks. Hid it from the nation. Wall Street Journal has an incredible piece about this that you should read in full. For 3 weeks, they decided not to tell the world that they discovered a new virus. And the president is taken to task by the media for calling it a Chinese virus, to be accurate. It must be called this. Because we also have an opportunity to help with some revolutionary changes in China. That, okay, it'll help the Chinese people, which is great, but it will also help the globe, and ultimately it will help America to understand what happened. It was December 10th that a woman got sick. She worked near one of these wet markets, and we're going to talk about the wet markets because they're key to this. She got sick. She developed these terrible symptoms. In the great communist country, she didn't want to go pay for a chest exam. But they figured out she's got something very, very serious. But then the government got involved in making sure this is all hidden. They decided to celebrate the Chinese Lunar New Year. I mean, you think about Times Square times some larger. They decided to bring together that gathering of human beings knowing that they had a new flu and perhaps a pandemic coming. And they decided to do that and to hide it from the world. They punished doctors for calling this out. One doctor had to write a self-evaluation saying that his work to warn people had been harmful. We know about one of the other doctors who called this out, who ended up getting it and dying, and he didn't look to be in a high-risk group to me. But this is the Chinese regime that did these things and hid these things that the media is suddenly completely blessing. You know, China dealt with their own challenges with this, with their own people dying. They could have simply sent out word. We have a new pandemic. We have a new flu. It is it's transferring very quickly. It's jumping human to human. You need to be alerted to this. But because they wanted the PR, they didn't do that. And now they say our military did it. And in revolutionary times, speaking the truth is an act of courage. So the president is called racist, and he refuses to hear it. He refuses to give in. This is courage to name the enemy. The Chinese government, in this case, acted at very best negligently. At worst, it's an act of an enemy. I'm not saying that they did this as a bioweapon. I want to be clear. But just compare some things about the media coverage. NPR released a piece about the wet markets in China. These things are so crazy from a perspective of hygiene. The wet markets take exotic animals that do not belong together. They're brought in alive. They're stacked up in cages. And so they are leaking all over one another. I don't want to be too blunt, but you get it. They're stacked up in these cages. Their bodily fluids are intermingling. In these wet markets, you can come along and say, why don't you cook up the ocelot and the bat for me? Throw that in a soup and I'll eat it right here. So they slaughter the animals right there. Animals that would never belong together. And the Chinese government can end anything. They're completely authoritarian. They can put a stop to anything. And they choose to not put a stop to this. Again, I'd love to hear from Chinese Americans or Asian Americans who are more concerned about the president calling this a Chinese virus than the actual growth of this through China, them hiding it from this country, from this world. And I'd love to hear from people who have some defense of the media that they write this piece about the wet markets and NPR is one of the critics of the president. Oh, it's racist. Oh, someone said Kung Flu. Well, name the person. So you take the information being released. July 15th, new filing date for taxes. California is in a lockdown. Texas is not quite in a lockdown. There's discussions about a lockdown nationwide as we continue to see progress on this. And some of the lockdown stuff is we're going to talk about on the show. It's disconcerting. Some of the details of this. What is an essential job? Who's allowed to go to work in the state of California? It's a misdemeanor if you refuse to comply with the law in the state of California. It's a misdemeanor, punishable. So we'll talk about that because you need to be aware of these things. CNN, remember this? CNN said about President Trump, he braces for a beef-free menu in India, as if the president didn't know that India was vegetarian. So they will criticize him on that, and they'll try to make that a big deal. And at the same time, they don't care. They're not writing about the wet markets. NPR isn't writing about the wet markets. They wrote about that years ago. CNN doesn't want to talk about how this started. You're talking about a regime that allows this lack of hygiene. You're talking about a regime that has, in fact, imprisoned Muslims in concentration camps or rethinking camps. Hey, you need to rethink your position or you can stay in here or you can die. That's generally not well thought of through the media. So they will take the president to task for limiting visitors from China in the quick response to this pandemic. When, in fact, the president has been proven right on this. They have nothing to say. I see no media coverage of, hey, what about the Muslims, the million of them in the concentration camps? Are they getting the disease? No, all their time is spent on saying, I can't believe President Trump is using the phrase Chinese virus for a Chinese virus. And this obscures information. It obscures Americans' ability to focus on what is getting done. Steve Mnuchin says it's going to be $1,000 to $2,000 in the hands of most Americans. So, personally speaking, I'd like to see some other ways to do that. Personally speaking, I'd like to see it targeted to the people who've been unemployed. Maybe do it through unemployment. And also speed is an issue. Because it is the government shutting down businesses. It is the government saying you can't do business. So it's recompense instead of just a stimulus. It's a recompense. It's a paying back. People are going to get this. But the discussion of closing down the country continues at the same time as the attitudes towards China are shifting. Question, which country do you think has a more negative view of China? United States or America? I mean, United States or Canada? Which one? It's Canada. We are taught that United States is, we're the ones that are xenophobic. We're the ones with this negative view. Well, it's getting more negative. It's getting more negative in a lot of countries. Russia has a great big positive look at China. Libya does, some other authoritarian countries. There's a revolutionary moment here. That is to say to China, are you part of the world? Are you going to warn us? Are you going to get rid of these wet markets? Or are you going to continue to hide these pandemics? Remember the Spanish flu? We're not supposed to call the Spanish flu. I learned something this morning. There's a good chance that started in China. It's not about the Chinese people. It's about the Chinese government or the regime. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh. We do expect to hear from the Maharishi himself on his own program. It's Open Line Friday, 800-282-2882. We'll continue on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Best bumper music on all talk radio. Also, best coach of fill-in host Mike Mamone back in EIB Central. So Rush may not be able to call in today. He is going to be back on Monday. Rush is doing what needs to get done. He's taking care of himself, and he should. So look forward to Rush on Monday. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh. July 15th, it's the new tax filing day. Thank you, President Trump. There is going to be a relief package. That's coming through. Maybe up to $2,000 for some folks. And we can be concerned about the spending level, where the money's coming from. There's all things we can talk about. But I want to compare these actions to former staffers for Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton who are war rooming this response with $5 million in negative dark monies. That dark money that Liz Warren said she hated, her staff is using to war room a presidential response to an international pandemic. That should tell you every bit of detail you need to know. Californians are facing 40 million people in California. You've been told to stay in your houses. I'd love to hear from you. Unless you have an essential job, stay in your house. That this is going to be a misdemeanor if you come out of your house. That's one of our biggest states. Texas is not quite there. As people struggle through this and businesses are closing and the private sector is stepping up, I'm going to tell you about a new test, an at-home test for the Wuhan flu you can take. And apparently this is going to be available Monday. Now, it's going to be screened by a doctor. They might say, hey, don't take it. You don't have any of the symptoms. Please don't rush in and take it. If you don't have the symptoms, please don't do that. One of the things they need to do is actually find the people who have the virus. That's the private sector stepping up. You have all sorts of people stepping forward to this when I was in the program for Rush on Wednesday. We heard from people in labs, in fixing copiers, in offices. We heard from people who are not thought of as first responders, who are sacrificing to this effort. And what is the instinct of leftists? But to sow more chaos and more division into this, do you understand? I mean, and this is something that Greg brought up at EIB. How many test kits could be bought with $5 million? But they instead intend to spend that on dark money. On dark money ads to bring people down about what is being done. It is phenomenal. There's an opportunity for the president to use his new approval rating. People are approving of the president's actions on this. 55% of people in a new poll said they approve of the president's handling of the situation. This is an Ipsos ABC news poll. 43% said they disapprove. Those numbers have flipped. They were basically the reverse of that. As the president continues to take action and meet with the press every day, and they continue to obsess about, you're calling it a Chinese virus, the president's approval rating comes up. So listen, my suggestion to Mr. President, to President Trump, please use this new respect for how you're dealing with this. After you beat this thing, we beat these things, the American people beat this virus, please use this as pressure on China. It's great that we're taking out, you know, so much of our medical system, our antibiotics, our insulin. Is China dependent? That's changing. But this is an opportunity to look Beijing in the eye and say you waited 3 weeks. You knew this was going on. You put on the Chinese Lunar New Year event knowing that people were getting sick. You hid this from the world. You cannot be part of the civilized world and sicken the civilized world when you could have, in fact, warned us very early on. And instead, you punished doctors. This is all information that the press somehow isn't interested in, except the Wall Street Journal with this great piece. So I've been asking people who are Asian Americans. I would like to know your response. Are you deeply concerned that the president is saying that a virus that started in China is Chinese when, in fact, we know that China hid this from us? Talk to John in Lynchburg, Virginia. John, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Good morning, John, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Todd. Great job covering for Rush. Like your show.
Thank you.
Prayer for Rush.
Yes, prayers for Rush.
I'm always listen to him, and I just support all you what you saying about. And I'm glad Trump is our president in the midst of all this time. I'm thinking he's doing great job and pinpointing the problem by names. It is problem came from China, and it's the problem. And if he's calling a Chinese flu,
yeah,
it is Chinese flu.
Yeah, and John, I want to make clear.
I am an Asian American.
There. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yes, I am Asian American. I'm from Central Asia. Mm-hmm. Kazakhstan is a neighbor country of China. And I don't see any problem. I don't see any offense or anything. I'm glad that he's naming it. I'm glad. I would like to tell that to Elizabeth Warner, who needs to open her eyes and look around instead
yes.
of sleeping in that box and just like looking for things to fight against the Trump. Even in a time like this when the United States needs to be united and help each other, she's looking to two tools to fight or throw at him. Every time she gets up, she doesn't know what to throw at him.
Now
she's going after names. So
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And John, I mean, Kazakhstan's next door to China. If folks are going to take offense, wouldn't it be a Central Asian? And your point about Liz Warren and Hillary Clinton's staffers, folks, Saul Alinsky spoke about politics, how to take a nation down, the community organizing guru of the left, right? Pick a target, isolate it, cut it off from its support base. Who's the target here? They're going to say the target is Trump. But I'm sorry, when they are spending $5 million to criticize, to war room a response, the target is the FDA. The target is the CDC. The target is the people in the field working on this. It's the FEMA people. It's the National Guard people. It's the first responders who are all trying to work together. Even Cuomo says so. They're targeting you during a time of incredible crisis and strife for this country. And you'd think maybe a Democrat, one, might turn their attention to China deciding to hide this from us. Right, there's so much more to get to, an absolute load of information. We'll share that with you. It is Open Line Friday. It's Todd Herman. My great honor to fill in for Rush Limbaugh on the indispensable EIB network. And thanks to my friends where I work during the weekday, KTTH AM 770 in Seattle, for letting me use the studio to fill in for Rush today. If you're in California, I'll say my prayers are with you. 40 million people in California have been told by the governor to stay inside. That apparently you're allowed to go shop for groceries, to go to the pharmacy. You're allowed to undertake essential tasks. He's demanding, though, that you stay in other than that. And this includes things like going to play basketball. He made a point of that. And it's a misdemeanor to avoid this. I had a friend of mine who was in the National Guard and had to do riot patrol in California. And he's predicting that they're going to be put out on the streets again to prevent rioting and perhaps to prevent people from going outside their houses. Later in the show, I want to go through some of the more optimistic looks at this pandemic, that there are some very well-respected scientists who've really crunched the numbers. One is very fascinating. They looked at the They looked at the Pacific Diamond cruise ship. Because in that case, you had people all locked in one place. And there was enough people that they could glean enough data. And this guy's, he's a Stanford professor. His mind is that this isn't as deadly or as virulent as we're being led to believe. So we'll get to that later in the program. But what does lockdown look like? This is something I think the government had better examine. We've done this before. We've shut cities down before. Seattle got shut down during the Spanish flu, which I've learned now through a historian, perhaps started in China and then spread. I was reading a USA Today piece by a woman today talking about, I think, her great-grandmother. She kept notes on what it was like. The theaters were shut down. Places of worship were shut down. People began to wear masks. This is in 1919, 1920. And it affected things then. It affected the economy then. I think what one of the things that the president's going to have to look at, his team's going to have to look at, is how long will Americans comply? How long can they comply? They're saying, Governor Newsom is saying in California that he expects this to not last months. I don't know that that's particularly reassuring. We saw the rush for food, and everyone jokes about the toilet paper, and we saw that. Do you have 8 weeks of food, right? And if you don't, is it something that you can go out and buy and not you take? I'm not saying take from others, but make sure other people have an opportunity to survive. There was a piece in Foreign Policy magazine, and I don't know. To me, this seemed gleefully written, and that concerned me. Sorry, America, the full lockdown is coming. Politicians won't admit it, but it's time to prepare physically and psychologically for a sudden stop to all life outside your home. So I'm trying to balance this against the Stanford professor who says, in fact, this may kill fewer people than the common cold sometimes kills older people. I'm trying to balance his piece and his work against this piece from Foreign Policy. And I'm reflecting on the idea that to a hammer, everything is a nail. You know that cliche. To a bureaucrat, everything is sort of an opportunity to bureaucratize. Everything is an opportunity. I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to have a shutdown. And on the other side of all this, there is, in fact, now this self-dealing that as Americans are being shut down, as Americans are being locked in their homes, as Americans are being told it's a misdemeanor to leave their homes, as all of this is happening, we had three senators go out and sell stock after they knew how bad the virus was. And we're going to be joined by Peter Schweitzer, who, of course, you know his 2011 book, Throw Them All Out, became a New York Times bestseller. In response to his book, there were people who Spencer Baucus of Alabama did not run for re-election. The House and Senate passed the Stock Act in 2012 that made insider trading by members of Congress and their staffs illegal. Then that was all undone. 2012, 2013, the Stock Act got gutted in a, you know the word that's coming, right? In a bipartisan effort. So now this morning, as we hear about Hillary Clinton's former staffers, Liz Warren's former staffers, war rooming with $5 million in dark money, the response to the President of the United States, we see three senators, Dianne Feinstein is one of them, Richard Burr is another, there's a new woman, and we'll get to her. She's engaged in this. Her husband is a senior person at the New York Stock Exchange. And they're all saying the same thing. It's blind trusts. And DiFi is saying, Dianne Feinstein is saying, oh, no, I have nothing to do with my husband's finances. Yeah, because you don't come home and talk. So Peter Schweitzer is going to join us. And having worked in D.C., I can tell you right now, they were so cavalier about this. In 2009, I watched Barney Frank. I watched him. I was there. I witnessed it. I witnessed him tell a room of 200 power brokers or so that they should buy Greek bonds. I am not joking. And this was after he came out of a committee hearing. They laughed. They laughed. And I stood there, a guy new to D.C., and I actually applauded. I was speaking after Barney Frank. I got up to the podium. I did this. Let's hear it for insider trading. And people started clapping. And then other people said, no, he's making fun of us. Yeah, I was. Except it wasn't really making fun of you, more pointing out the swamp. So coming up next on the Rush Limbaugh program, exclusively here, author Peter Schweitzer from an undisclosed location. We'll talk about this insider trading and what can be done about it and how bad it is. That's next on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Peter Schweitzer's new book is called Profiles in Corruption. It's a book from 2011, though, that should be reviewed because of what's going on in the Senate. Three senators sold stock knowing that the coronavirus was coming, the Wuhan flu. There are some Republicans involved in this. Democrat Dianne Feinstein. We'll talk about the personalities. His book, Throw Them All Out, it caused a change. It made insider trading illegal. Then bipartisan affair, they decided to make it legal again so they can roll in cash. Peter Schweitzer joins us on the Rush Limbaugh program. Peter, it's Todd Herman filling in. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, great to be with you, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
I appreciate it. Let's just talk about this, what happened in these stock sales. So it looks like they learned that this was going to be very bad. Senator Burr went and spoke to investors saying, hey, this is going to be bad. Give people a taste of what went on with this, and then let's talk about what we can do to get back to where you had us in this nation.
Yeah, I mean, the Senator Burr example is particularly egregious. I mean, I've exposed corruption involving Republicans and Democrats for more than a decade, and this is really one of the worst situations. Bottom line, Senator Burr, who in 2018 his net worth was around $1.7 million, essentially got briefings from federal officials saying how bad this pandemic was going to be. And then over the course of the next couple days, had 33 sale transactions of stock, representing at least, if not more, of half of his entire net worth. The point being, you know, he was not being bashful here. He was basically selling just about everything that he could sell. And 1 week later, his stock portfolio would have been down 30% had he held that stock. So this is what you look for in insider trading. You look at, did they have access to inside information? Senator Burr absolutely did. We know he attended the briefing. We know what the briefing now said. Number two, were there anomalies in his stock transactions? Absolutely they were. If you go back and look at his stock transactions running back previous years, you really cannot find another example where he's dumping 33 stock in that short a period of time. I think this needs to be taken up by the Department of Justice to see if it involves insider trading. It needs to be taken up by the Senate leadership. We need to know who he talked to, who he shared this information with. And I think, frankly, that given this conduct, he should resign.
Yeah, it's phenomenal that there are three Republicans who are said to be involved in this. There's Dianne Feinstein, of course, a Democrat. Richard Burr, we've been talking about him. Kelly Loeffler, Georgia. James Inhofe of Oklahoma. Loeffler, her husband is with the New York Stock Exchange. He's chairman of the New York Stock Exchange. I would think that's also doubly concerning, Peter, because, you know, Americans, we might watch the news and say, hey, I'm nervous about this. I've got a friend who trades stocks and he was nervous. But these guys, they have to be getting information that we don't. And to say otherwise, it's a lie on its face as I see it, Peter.
Oh, absolutely. You're exactly right, Todd. And here's the thing we have to factor in. Not only these individuals that dumped stock before the crisis, but let everybody keep in mind that this stimulus that has been passed, that was crafted in the House, went through the Senate, signed by the president, that involves bailouts and all these tax deals, the people who wrote that legislation are basically free to trade stock in the very companies that are going to be bailed out. I mean, that's how bad it is. So you're exactly right. I mean, as Washington, D.C. has gotten more powerful, has gotten more control over our lives, it gives them a greater ability to affect and make winners and losers in the stock market. And that information is highly, highly valuable. A lot of hedge funds now practice something called political intelligence, where they basically hire ex-senators or congressmen or ex-congressional staffers, and they have them troll for information on Capitol Hill that they can trade on, and it can be an extremely lucrative, but I would say very troubling, pattern of behavior.
Peter Schweitzer is with us. Latest book is Profiles in Corruption. I'd suggest that we make Throw Them All Out number one again across the board today and to reread this. Peter, I don't know if you heard me just kind of teasing your appearance before the break. I told the story about Barney Frank, who literally, yeah. Peter, I watched. You heard this. So folks in Rush's audience, you didn't. I watched Barney Frank give insider tips to 200 power brokers in Washington, D.C. By the way, Peter, that was on official property. That was in the Longworth office building where he did this. And no one thought anything of it, Peter. It was commonplace. I think if the American people knew that in this stimulus that there are people now who can short sell, they can go long, they could go really long. You're talking about an ability, Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, you can build generational wealth buying an airline that you know is going to get bailed out. You know the terms, you know how much, you know whether it's a loan. President Trump saying he doesn't want to see this used for stock buybacks. I applaud that. I don't know that the American people know how mobbed up these people are sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I think you're exactly right, Todd. It's a bipartisan problem. It's a human corruption problem. And the only way that we are going to deal with this, it's not a fail-safe solution, but the only way you deal with this is by insisting that any elected official, or I would say senior bureaucrat that has a net worth north of $100,000, they need to put all their assets in a blind trust, a real blind trust. Now, what some of these people are saying, Senator Loeffler has kind of implied this, Dianne Feinstein has talked about, well, I've got my assets in trusts, so I don't have any control over them. If you look at the Senate disclosure forms, they are not in blind trusts. They are in investment trusts, which are totally different. And what that means is they can call up their broker and say, I just had one heck of a briefing. You know, the sky is falling. And the broker can act on that information. And that's inside information that is given to the senator behind closed doors by a senior health official. And that is huge market moving information. So it's a huge problem. And the only way to deal with it, I think, is to have a standard blank rule. The other thing I would say is that, you know, Senator Loeffler has used this explanation. Senator Feinstein has basically saying, well, look, we're so wealthy, we don't need to engage in that kind of behavior. And, you know, the problem is, Todd, if you look at insider trading cases that occur on Wall Street involving, they involve very wealthy people. So this is not a question of how wealthy you are. It's whether you feel like the rules don't apply to you or whether you feel like you can get away with it. That's the issue. So this needs to be taken seriously. These individuals need to be investigated. Who did they communicate with after they got these briefings? Did they talk to their spouse? Did they email their broker? That stuff should be subpoenaed and should be looked at.
Yeah, I think there's so much we could do for transparency, Peter Schweitzer. One of the things I think we could do is, in fact, is I would like to see their emails between their brokers. I'd like to see those things put into one channel. Here's the channel through which you can discuss things with your broker. And by the way, it's going to go into a drive. And if we have questions ethically, we're going to go just open that drive up and look at it. And we'll just have the Ethics Commission do that. The other thing is, Peter, we got about 2 minutes here. Peter Schweitzer's with us. Brilliant authors, protected you, informed you about corruption on both sides of the aisle. In this case, it's right now one Democrat, three Republicans. Is also this. I believe this involves, you know, significant structural changes to the way our government works. Why do we have to have the Senate look into the Senate? You said the DOJ. I love that. What about having a consistent, constant body, Peter Schweitzer, that could actually police ethics?
That's a brilliant and vital point. Look, politicians in America are the only set of people that have power who basically get to write their own rules. If there were a corporate executive of a publicly traded company engaging in this behavior or engaging in some of the other shenanigans that go on, the SEC would throw the book at them. And the reason is because the SEC rules have been written by politicians. But politicians don't apply those rules to themselves. So I agree with you. We have to get past the time when we believe that these elected officials can police themselves. They've demonstrated over and over again that they can't. And the problem is it's very hard to find information about these trades. So the notion that, you know, voters are just going to figure this out in this complex financial world and voters will hold them accountable is just not true. The rules and laws that apply to you, that apply to me, that apply to Rush, that apply to the guy down the street should apply to our elected officials, period. Nonstop, end of discussion.
Couldn't agree more. It's Peter Schweitzer, peterschweitzer.com. I imagine the Team IB put a link up there. And Peter, just thank you. God bless you for your work and what you're doing for the American people. Your work is fascinating. It's vital. And I'm so very pleased that you joined us today on Rush's show. Godspeed. Stay healthy, too, Peter. We need you.
Thanks, Todd, so much. Great to talk to you.
Yep, it's absolutely my pleasure. Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Rush just mentioned Rush 24/7 in the Limbaugh letter. I'm pretty sure Rush interviewed Peter Schweitzer in that. We're checking. Get that at rushlimbaugh.com. Real quick here, Ryan in Milwaukee, you're in the Rush Limbaugh program. Got to make it quick. Sorry about that, Ryan. Go ahead.
That's all right. No, I just wanted to comment on the insider trading, you know, and I don't really think that insider trading really was involved, because if you didn't know that you should be selling your stocks back in December when 80,000 people were infected with the virus, that it wasn't here already, that you should have maybe do some research and figure out your life, because sometimes you just got to get stuff done. And I went out in December and bought all my stuff because I knew it was already here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a prepper, so we have our stuff with some things we needed to finish off on. I would just point this out, Ryan, because I hear what you're saying, and there's wisdom to that. I sold stocks and bought gold when I knew Obama was going to win, because I knew where their economy is going. Here's the difference is the senators know what they're going to do. So they know if they're going to put a travel ban in place. They know if they're going to tell airlines you can't fly internationally. So they have that insight, which is, in fact, something that hadn't made the papers yet. Like I told the story about Barney Frank, Ryan. Literally, Ryan, that morning, the news didn't know. The media didn't know that they had decided to bail out Greece. Barney Frank knew because he left a committee meeting, walked in there and told us all. So there's a little bit of difference in that. But, hey, I appreciate you being prepared and being part of the solution, said a part of the problem. Coming up on the Rush Limbaugh program, Todd Herman filling in, a new test you can take at home for COVID-19.